This is America Weekend. I am Paul Harris. As you know by now, David Letterman announced Thursday night on his CBS Late Show that he's going to hang it up. He's going to retire after more than three decades in late night, even longer than Johnny Carson was on The Tonight Show. David Letterman has been on NBC and CBS. But at some time in 2015, he's going to say goodbye, and who knows what he'll do next. And more importantly, who knows who will do his show next, or at least the show that will fill that slot. Here to talk about that is Time Magazine's TV critic, James Poniewozik. Hi, James. How are you?
Good. Thanks for having me on.
Welcome back to the show. Yesterday on Time.com, you wrote an open letter to some of the people that people might consider to be in the running for that job. Jon Stewart, Stephen Colbert, Chelsea Handler, Craig Ferguson, etc. And you told them, don't take the job if it's offered to you. Why not?
Because... One thing that I was thinking about when I was considering the question of who might take over, and it's an open field, is that generally the more interesting the name is that's suggested as a possible replacement for David Letterman, probably the worse a fit it would actually be. Because a lot of these people are interesting because they have some original or different or distinctive voice in one way or another. And that voice is not necessarily suited to an 11:35 talk show, which is at this point a very sort of rigidly defined kind of thing. It's really not the sort of huge culturally dominant platform that it used to be. So if you take as an example, say Jon Stewart. You know, there was a time not long ago where it would seem no-brainer, like a big promotion for somebody to come up from a cable channel like Comedy Central and get a late-night primetime slot on a major network. But Jon Stewart has been able, on Comedy Central, to make his show really the preeminent political satire and media commentary show on television. Very smart. Tremendously influential, even with a relatively small viewership. He could not do the same kind of show, or even a show with the same kind of perspective on CBS. I mean, it's theoretically possible. I highly doubt that they're interested in anything like that. And so while CBS might be very glad to have him, and it's very interesting in theory, you know, I think we shouldn't automatically assume that a job like this is, you know, necessarily a step up for anybody. Craig Ferguson does a very good show after David Letterman, which is sort of quirky and conversational and thoughtful, and that works very well at 12:35. 11:35 has become just such a marketing, pop cultural, promotional platform that I don't think it necessarily fits in the same spot. And so the bottom line is, I think somebody who wants to be sort of the next Letterman, you know, to reinvent television, should not do it by taking Letterman's old job, because you know how Letterman became Letterman was that he essentially, you know, with his writers, created something that just didn't exist on television before.
Right.
And that's really how you fill that role in the culture.
Yeah. 11:35 or 10:35 in the Midwest is not a time for reinvention?
No, I mean, I think it can be. But I tend to doubt that CBS at this juncture, and I could be entirely wrong about this, you know, there are a lot of unknowns here, is really looking to, you know, blow up the format or to do something, you know, very different in the same way that, you know, NBC did with the later night time slot, when David Letterman created Late Night with David Letterman.
Yep.
Certainly, at least if they're looking to continue a late show with blank, 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 you know, that suggests to me that they're probably not going to be looking to reinvent anything. You know, I think when Seth Meyers took over Late Night recently, and he's very smart and very funny and does a very professional show in many ways, but, you know, he very purposely did not change much from the format because he said, you know, the format is what it is because it works. And that's fine, and there are many people who will do, you know, very well with it. I'm just saying somebody who, you know, aims to be the kind of TV revolutionary that David Letterman was, that is probably not the way for them to do it.
Yeah, I agree. And I love that semi-compliment you gave Myers. He does a very professional job. That's not exactly the highest praise. But let me throw...
It's a very smoothly run show, but, you know, it is not something new under the sun so far.
Right.
And, you know, these things do take a long time to develop, but yeah, that is how I would characterize it.
Would Ellen DeGeneres ever give up her lucrative daytime show to take over a late-night TV slot?
Well, see, that was another example I was going to give. You know, I think she would be a natural fit for it. In a way, she's sort of the broadcaster out there who's closest in spirit to Jimmy Fallon, who's been pretty successful, you know, in that her thing is all about, you know, having fun with the audience and having fun with guests and having this rapport with celebrities. But she's got a good gig going now. And it is, as you say, very lucrative, and it has very wide reach and audience. And, you know, if I were advising her, you know, I would again say, why should you consider late night to be a step up from that? She probably has the better job now.
Yep.
You know, and it's probably, you know, we can't really think of this through the lens of the Carson era anymore. You know, it's not just, this is not, you know, the captain's deck of television culture anymore. It's just one time slot among a whole bunch of them, and it's a smaller and smaller part of it now.
Very much like the evening news on ABC, NBC, and CBS are not the only place you can go for news. The 11:30 or 10:30 Midwestern time slot is not the only place you can go for late night entertainment. I think you're absolutely right. So, why do you think Letterman chose now?
You know, Letterman is kind of inscrutable and he's very private, and so there's a certain amount of mind reading that goes into this. But,
yep.
You know, I think that the fact that Jay Leno left, and, you know, not to make it like a personal thing about him, like I don't think, you know, it was necessarily about outlasting Jay. But, you know, he did reach a certain milestone where he had been on longer than Jay. He will have been, as you say, in late night longer than Johnny Carson. When Conan took over from Jay Leno, there was a thinking among David Letterman's people that this was going to be, you know, Dave's moment to, you know, kind of take over the late night ratings for the last part of his career. But things didn't work out for Conan. Leno came back, and Letterman started falling behind him in the ratings again. And it's looking from Fallon, although it's fairly early, that, you know, Fallon's doing very well in the ratings, and Late Show isn't really catching up to him. So. I think there is probably a sense that, you know, why not wrap things up? He's been doing this for a long time and wrap it up on his own terms. You know, I'm not sure he would have gone with it that much longer if he were beating Fallon in the ratings now. But he might have gone, you know, a little longer at that point.
Yeah, CBS probably would have wanted him to. But let's be honest about this. And I'm a 30-year-plus David Letterman fan, going back to when he used to guest host for Carson on The Tonight Show in the late 70s before he got his own show. I've loved this guy for a long time. But a few years ago, I stopped recording his show every night because there wasn't anything creative. If people start talking about, and they have already started talking about, the great things that David Letterman did in late night, you can't name one from the last 5 years, can you?
Memorable maybe when he came on and talked about the bizarre affair/blackmailing incident that was in the news a couple of years ago. That was, you know, very weirdly characteristically Letterman, in that sort of in his later years, some of the more memorable things he's been, whether it was that, whether it was after September 11th, were these kind of almost improv off the cuff, sitting down and talking to the audience about one thing or another. But no, you know, definitely his creative flourishing was a while ago. You know, I'm a big fan of his. I think he may be, you know, the greatest figure ever in late night overall. If I'm being totally honest, you know, most of my fondest memories of him are from staying up to watch his show in the 80s, you know, and when I was in college
Right.
You know, whatnot. It you know, so and that's going to be the case with anybody who's on TV in a job like this for 30 odd years.
Yeah.
You know, and you know, I think Dave knows that as well as anybody else. You know, so there's probably another factor there.
When looking for his successor, don't they not only have to find somebody who would be good at the job, but also good at the other thing that's become important now, especially with Fallon and Kimmel, and that is being viral and understanding social media and the online aspects of distribution today?
I think that that's probably true. I mean, I think that, you know, getting clips circulated on YouTube has been a big thing for Fallon and for Kimmel. It's not necessarily much of a moneymaker in itself, but, you know, it's promotion for the show. It's promotion for the parts of the show where they do make money. So, you know, I'm sure CBS is going to have that in mind. They may be trying to do a bit less of it or trying to do it their own way because, you know, CBS does have overall a bit of an older audience than NBC and ABC do, and you know, it's not necessarily as much the history of rap audience as you know, whatever is leading into Jimmy Fallon.
Right.
But you know, I definitely you know, there's obviously a generational shift going on right now in late night, and CBS is going to have to be aware of that when they're looking for somebody new.
Let me throw one last name at you. Stephen Colbert, who does such great numbers in that half hour after Jon Stewart every night and has really understood the social media aspects of it, which we were just discussing. Would he give up the Colbert Report personality to become himself, the real Stephen Colbert, and take a job like this, do you think?
I don't know if he wouldn't, but he shouldn't. I mean, he's been doing the performance of a lifetime on Comedy Central. That's, I'm certain, not something that he could port over to CBS or do a new version of on CBS. And, you know, I guess that's, you know, another thing where I just say, you know, avoid that kind of Peter principle thinking about this.
Yeah.
You know, don't think that you need to move up to this just because it's a bigger network and therefore it's a step up. You know, I think Stephen Colbert is doing the thing he should be doing now. He's doing something that's really bigger than his show even. It's you know, sort of, you know, a 9-year work of continuous performance art. To have him become just one more guy, you know, interviewing Anna Kendrick about her new movie or whatever. you know, not that he doesn't do interviews now, but he's doing like a whole twist on it.
Yep.
I just think that would be a shame for everybody.
Yeah, I agree. And also with both Colbert and Stewart, 30 minutes is perfect. 60 minutes might be a little bit much for the shtick that they're doing right now.
Yeah, I agree. You need something like that in concentration.
Absolutely. James Poniewozik is the TV critic for Time Magazine. Read him online at time.com. Thanks for your contributions today, James.
Okay. Thanks a lot, Paul.
I'm Paul Harris. This is America Weekend.